الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون، يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers and our sisters who are listening or streaming, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for gathering us here tonight. This is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have gathered to listen to talks which are related to deen. Sitting in these programs is also a form of ibadat. This is also regarded as being involved in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَمَا اجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارُسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ. In this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there is no gathering of Muslimin, of mu'mineen, that get together to listen to talks of deen, to make and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa nazalat alayhim as-sakina wa ghashiyatuhum ar-rahma wa haffatuhum al-malaika wa dhakarahum Allah fi man 'indahu. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses these individuals. Firstly, Allah ta'ala as-sakina, Allah ta'ala special tranquility, this tranquility descends upon them. There's a kind of a sakina that descends in these gatherings. That is why you will notice very often that in the talks of deen, mashallah, the person normally cannot fall asleep. But as soon as he sits in the bayan, so he goes into a nice, wonderful sleep somewhere. This is that sakina that descends. Allah Ta'ala sometimes grants this kind of sakina. It is because this is Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is descending. There was one particular individual who was suffering from depression, and he was going to doctors and psychologists and so on and so forth. So he was going to the doctors and psychologists looking for some kind of sakina. So if anybody was falling asleep, inshallah. So this person was suffering from depression. We were mentioning that when a person sits in the company of deen and in the gatherings of deen, then the sakina that descends. So this person came into the company of Hazrat Shaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi. He was suffering from depression to such an extent that he couldn't even sleep properly. He used to take medication to try and sleep and so on. And when he came into the sohbat of Hazrat Wala, so mashallah, by the third day, he says, Hazrat, I'm getting such wonderful sleep without any medication whatsoever. of course, one of the things was that he was very, very serious. You know, Hazrat just saw the seriousness in him. Hazrat was light-hearted. Also, there is a place for humor in deen as well. So nevertheless, when a person gathers in this kind of a gathering, that Allah Ta'ala's special sakina descends. And a person feels within his heart a kind of a tranquility. On the contrary, when a person commits a sin, any sin for that matter, there is always this guilt that is in the heart, That one, it haunts the person, that I mustn't get caught in this sin. If right now, if the angel of death has to strike when a person is involved in sin, so he knows at that moment there's that worry and that guilt that I mustn't pass away in this condition if the person has got iman. So he knows that fear is there that I mustn't get caught in there. I mustn't get caught by my parents, by my teachers, by my ustads, by family members. And furthermore, it mustn't be that the angel of death seizes me in the midst of this sin. So there's always that guilt. On the other hand, if a person is performing salah, and whilst in sajda, now if that thought comes in his mind, that what if the angel of death takes me at this moment? So there's no guilt whatsoever. In fact, the person will say, never mind, what a wonderful place to pass away. Person passes away in that condition, it is, we'll say that is a death, is an enviable kind of a death. We had in Masjid al-Nur, I recall during the life of our late Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat had performed, given the Jummah Bayan, and the sinful servant performed the khutbah and the salah. And whilst in the salah, or whilst in the sunnah of the salah, immediately after we completed our salah, then we could hear some commotion taking place, the third saf behind. And this particular brother performed on the day of Jummah, in sajda, this person passed away. He passed away there, and then the heart specialist was right there. He came, checked him up. He said, look, I don't want to say anything, but from what I can see, he's already gone. But let's just get the paramedics to come with the equipment and confirm. But he passed away. So mashallah, in the masjid, on the day of Jummah, in the company of a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what an enviable kind of a death. So we say that death is a wonderful death. Person passed away in that condition. When a person commits or does a good deed, there is a kind of a sakina, there is a kind of ease that is within the heart. It's not that guilty conscience is not there, it doesn't haunt a person. So nazarat alayhim as-sakina, Allah Ta'ala's sakina descends on a person. Wa ghashiyatuhum ar-rahma, and Allah Ta'ala's rahmat enshrouds and envelops the person. Subhanallah, respected elders and brothers, regarding this rahmat, this is a bayan in itself. This word rahmah, we say that may Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon you. May Allah Ta'ala's rahmat be focused on an individual. We say when we make the salam, the salam of a believer is the most perfect greeting. Our Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to always explain, and in the morning after Fajr, the brothers used to walk with. So if a non-Muslim brother was walking on the opposite side, so Hazrat would always instruct that, never mind, greet the person, show him good akhlaq. So Maulana would say, good morning, or how are you, or good morning. But then Hazrat would explain, now look at the greeting. So now the person is walking, so in the morning you say morning, in the afternoon you say afternoon. Now the thing is that everybody knows morning. And then others you say good morning, so look, your morning can be good, but whether your afternoon is good or not good, that's not my concern. As long as your morning is good, that's the main thing. So one kind of greeting is that. Now look at the beautiful greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum. May the salamity of Allah be upon you. And we also know that Assalam is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a name. So may Allah be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullah. And may the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala be focused upon you. Wa barakatuhu. And may the blessings of Allah Ta'ala be with you. And that is the sunnah to say till day. One brother on this point, after the Isha salah, again we were walking out of the masjid. So Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah was walking. So Hazrat saw him and greeted him. So he said, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa maghfiratuhu wa ridwanuhu. So Hazrat told him, brother, you just stop it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That is sunnah. After that, whatever you're adding, It's now you adding in deen. And when we start adding in deen, then we actually bring difficulty upon ourselves. So Sharia says in the ayah of the Quran Sharif, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. The ayah of the Quran Sharif says, when you are greeted, we know that to greet is sunnah. To greet our fellow Muslims is sunnah. And if we are greeted, then it is wajib for us to respond to that greeting. And of course, beautiful hadith of Rasulullah SAW, Al-Badi'u bis-salami bari'un min al-kibr. That person who greets first, then he gets a certificate. What a beautiful certificate. Freedom from pride. Allah, this is a sign that this person, inshallah, is free from pride. Because sometimes the person who you are greeting, he may be more insignificant than you. You do not know him. And the Hadith Sharif says that greet every Muslim whether you recognize him or you do not recognize him. So now you have to greet the person, and sometimes in your eye he may be more insignificant. Maybe financially he's on the lower standing than you are. Perhaps he's looking like a poor person. Now for you to greet him, this is a sign that you are humble. You have humility in you. And now when somebody has greeted us, then Hadith Sharif states that you need to reply. At least reply with what he has said. So if he said Assalamu alaikum, then you say alaikum assalam. But Quran says fahayyu bi ahsana minha, then try and greet better than that. So what Sharia says? It says if he says Assalamu alaikum, you say wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. If he said Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then you will reply wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And that is all that is mentioned in the hadith. So as it explained, now you have to go about what you did right now. Now you went wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuhu wa ridwanuhu. Now if we have to say, okay, he greeted with like six, he added. So now we need to add another two more. And the next time he meets you, he said, last time he greeted me with eight, let me try come with ten. So how difficult it will then become. So Sharia says stop till there. Same thing when you are making wudu. So, Hadith Sharif teaches us that we should wash thrice. And if we wash more than thrice, then it's regarded as makruh. It is actually disliked. Because now you are bringing taklif upon yourself. And especially those brothers who suffer from the sickness of whisperings of shaitan, where they are never satisfied. They always, you know, they continue washing and washing. One particular brother constantly calls us with regards to this. He's never satisfied that he's washed himself enough when he's in the toilet. So eventually one day I told him, brother, I think the best thing for you is that you get, you know, this fire hose reel. Install one in the toilet and you just open it full blast and inshallah you never know. So the person is never satisfied. One particular brother was suffering from this. Same thing with shaitan. Mainisab Rahmatullahi, those brothers, Brother Muhammad will know that very often we meet at the airport. So sometimes there was not enough seating. And as to tell the brothers, right, all of you just sit down on the tile itself. So some brothers would feel uncomfortable, but the tiles now. So as to say that the tiles are bark. Until and unless you have not seen some impurity falling on the tile, so we will regard everything as park. So now somebody will say, but now, what if the person went to the toilet and then what if his shoes had impurity on it? And then what if that impurity, by the time it somehow stuck on the shoe, and somehow it came at that particular spot where you are sitting? So now, the question is, did you see it? If you saw it, then well and good. But if you didn't see it, then take it as if it is not there. So on the contrary, you can say that even if there was impurity, then what if by the time he walked here, he continued rubbing, and eventually everything came out completely, and he continued rubbing, and it became pure. So Shariat is very, very simple and very easy. We will take it as if it is clean. You haven't seen an impurity, so you take it as if it is clean. The famous usul and principle in fiqh is al Yaqeen la yazulu bishak. That if a person has got conviction that he for example made wuzu for Isha, he remembers he made wuzu. But now he's doubting, maybe the wudu broke, I'm not sure if it broke, I can't recall. He's got a doubt. But he was certain that he made wuzu. So that doubt cannot obliterate and break that which was conviction. He has to have conviction that he has broken his wudu, then only the wudu will break. So Allah protect us, but some people suffer from this. I recall one particular individual, he was suffered so much, such an extent that even money, when he touched money, after that he would wash his hand 3 times. He said, I regard all money as napak. People all touching the money, so, people, you don't know what they do with their hands. So all money is napak. Now imagine how difficult that will be. Because at all the times washing his hands. So Shariat is very easy. Shariat may has made things easy. So that sideline, coming back to Rahmat. So when Allah Ta'ala's Rahmat is focused on an individual, we said that is a whole bayan in itself. When we make salam, what a beautiful greeting Allah Ta'ala has given us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With regards to this Rahmat, may Allah Ta'ala bless us with his Rahmat.
Amen.
When Allah Ta'ala's Rahmat is focused on an individual, he has got, as you would say, state security. You see this particular person, he's protected by the state. The government has provided security for him. 24 hours he's got security. How was it? Maulana Hakim Muhammad Mazhar Sahib Dhamad Barakatuhu. Allah Ta'ala has given him that position. But when he travels in Karachi, those brothers went. Hazrat has got state security with him all the time. Armed guards are there with him all the time. So that individual is always protected. Now the person who's got state security, it's very, very difficult for that person to be attacked. The person is guarded. The more elaborate the security, the more difficult it becomes for the person to be attacked. So when a person has got Allah Ta'ala's rahmat upon him, it's as if he has got state security. In fact, forget state security, the controller and the malik of the 7 heavens and the earth is protecting that individual. When Allah Ta'ala has granted security to someone, the whole world can try and harm that person. The whole world can unite and form a coalition to harm that person. But if Allah Ta'ala has said that I am going to protect this person, nothing can harm that person whatsoever. So this rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it's focused on a person, then subhanAllah, respected elders and brothers, it will become so easy for us to protect ourselves from disobeying and violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah has recalled his words, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. When he had been imprisoned, we know the story, and after he was then taken out of prison, and his name was finally cleared. So then people started praising him. So then immediately he clarified and attributed all his achievements to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that I do not regard my nafs as safe and sound. Because this nafs, la'ammaratum bisu, this nafs intensely encourages and pulls a person towards the disobedience of Allah ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has created itself that this nafs, its tendency is that it inclines towards disobedience. And it always pulls a person towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why even if a person becomes the greatest wali, he should never ever trust his nafs. As Shaqi Muhammad Akhtar Sahib says, this nafs is on the scale of bichu. Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu. So bisu and bichu. In Urdu, bichu ka matlab, bichu means scorpion. A scorpion is a very dangerous creature. Unprovoked sometimes it will bite a person. You can never ever trust it. A scorpion suddenly bites a person and then inflicts the person with that poison. So he says the nafs is the same. We can never ever trust this nafs. Sometimes a person sits in a good gathering, he keeps strong bond and ta'alluq with the mashayikh. But then when he is detached, suddenly when he doesn't realize and when he just drops his guard, that is when nafs suddenly strikes, and then the person suddenly falls back to where he was. But the Maulvi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that That is why I tell the brothers who change their lives and come into my sohbat, that do not even go back to the newspapers. The person was, used to watch movies in his life. He watched movies, he went down that line, he made tawbah and istighfar, he sat in the company of the mashayikh, he realized that the harm that it was causing to himself, to his family, he realized the amount of time that was being wasted, he realized that his time was going and he was not strengthening his bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then realized that he was moving closer to his grave, but he was moving further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these kind of entertainment and these kind of things. Of course, there is place for halal entertainment. We have to understand this also. Sometimes a person, shaitan, wants to stop a person from changing. So shaitan will put it in the mind, you know, this marana, what they're talking about now, if we have to change our lives, then, you know, life is going to become so boring and nothing. And now, you know, there's no fun. Can't even laugh too. Won't they even sit in the masjid and make it out of Quran Sharif because we're going to the grave and everything is over now, it's over now. You know, we can't smile. That is not. In fact, the reality is, as the Shah Hakim Muhammad Mazhar Sahib says, that when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you make an effort to bring into your life the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your life, zindagi jo hai, it will not only become, it won't only become easy, balke mazedar bhi jo ho jayega. Na ke aasan, balke mazedar bhi ho jayega. That your life will not only become easy and simple, but it will actually become enjoyable. Now when the person finds that now when there's obedience in the home, now you will find that the love between husband and wife now intensifies. Allah Ta'ala creates so much of bond between the husband and wife that the person, though his wife may not be very beautiful, but Allah Ta'ala will glorify her beauty in his eye, and vice versa. One person was not very, you know, he didn't have very good features. So one day he was sitting with his wife. So he told his wife, you know, every time I look at you, I make shukr to Allah and I'm getting sawab. So she said, I'm also getting a lot of sawab, but every time I look at you, I make sabat, make sabat, make sabat. When I make sabat, I also get a lot of sawab. So, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create such love. Allah ta'ala speaks about this bond between husband and wife. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمًا. Allah ta'ala says that we are the ones from the signs of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that Allah Ta'ala has created partners for us. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَ. Allah is the one who creates. Who is the one who creates love? Allah. وَجَعَلَ. Allah is the one who creates love between two complete strangers. Allah Ta'ala is the one who creates that love. Now when Allah is the one who creates the love, when we're going to violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we're going to disobey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why our Mashayikh mentioned that when the husband turns his gaze to other women, or when the woman turns her gaze towards other men, then the first thing that happens in that marriage, the first thing, is that you will notice that the love between the spouses is removed. And now you will find that now that same wife, when she looks at the husband, although she'll put on an act, but deep down in her heart, that love is not there. And vice versa, the husband will put on an act, but deep down in his heart, that love is not there. Allah Ta'ala give you an example of the love that Allah Ta'ala puts between husband and wife. I give you an example in the life, a practical example in the life of our Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the Shaykh of many of our Mashayikh, including our late Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi. We witnessed this ourselves. After his wife had passed away, he was once seated. He had been inflicted with the stroke that he had. So while seated on his bed, few brothers were in the room who also happened to have been present. He started cheering. So he says, "I'm thinking about my wife. I'm thinking about my wife." He said that she was the one who encouraged me and pushed me to sit in the company of the Mashayikh. Had it not been for her sacrifices, where would I be here today? And then, And then to give you an example of the love that he had for her, that when she passed away, then he purchased an entire piece of land. He divided that land into two portions. On the one portion, he built a Darul Quran, a place where the Quran, the tilawat of the Quran, and the students will become Hafiz. And then he buried her in the other part and he declared it a Qabristan. And he made intention that all the thawab of that madrasa till the day of Qiyamah must go to his wife and all those. See what love Allah Ta'ala. This is true love. That no matter how old they become, in fact, that love only intensifies and matures. Allah Ta'ala causes that love to mature. So this is the barakat of, and this is what we say about Allah will create that love. Sometimes the young sisters say, but no, first let's get to know the girl. You need to first get to know the girl and then, you know, then we'll start inclining towards her. The reality is that Allah is the one who will create that love. And the reality is that you can see practically that those marriages where the boy and girl get to know each other in and out, those are the marriages that sometimes are the most problematic. Most problematic. We hardly deal with cases in proportion to what the ulama are dealing with. But even the few odd, you know, few cases that we see, you realize that those individuals who led a life of sin and guna, the amount of problems they have in their home, it's no sukoon, there is no enjoyment. What kind of happiness? They haven't understood, they haven't tasted it. But you see, shaitan now creates this kind of a camouflage. So he tells you that no, what you got, this is enjoyment. They're talking about there's not enjoyment. There's a beautiful example of Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayh, where he's mentioned about this worm. So he depicts this simple little stories and anecdotes, but the lesson that he drives home is sometimes profound. So he mentioned that there was this worm. This worm was passing its days on dry leaves. It survived on dry leaves. So one day somebody told this worm, listen, don't waste your time on these dry leaves. You go to a certain place, there's an orchard. There's juicy grapes. You need to taste this juicy grape. When you taste that juicy grape, you realize that you wasted your life on those dry leaves. So he said, okay, how can I get there? So he was directed. So he traveled for many, many days and weeks, and who knows, even perhaps months, until finally he reached the orchard, the vineyard. And now he started sitting through. And now he reached the first grape vine, and now he started climbing up until he reached the first few branches. So he took a bite of the leaf of the first few branches. There were no grapes at that point. So when he tasted that leaf, he was very impressed. He thought that now that leaf was actually the juicy grape. Until Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that he passed his entire life on that leaf until he made that leaf his qabristan. So Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi says, only that foolish worm made a little more effort and sacrifice. If he just left behind and he just threw away that leaf and travel a little more and made a little more sacrifice and made a little more mujahada and went up to the juicy grape, climbed a little higher and took one bite of the juicy grape, you would have realized that leaf, what was I wasting my life on that kind of a leaf? In the same way, respected elders and brothers, shaitan makes us, you know, he deceives us that, you know, this is enjoyment, this life of entertainment, going to these kind of places, having these kind of mixed gatherings, you know, this is it. But respected elders and brothers, make that little sacrifice. Go a little further. Leave behind these ways. Take few more steps higher. Go closer to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when you will taste that sweetness, respected elders and brothers, may I don't have it myself, but we make dua that Allah Ta'ala grants it. Ameen. But when you will taste it, Ameen. One girl wrote our late Hazrat Maulana Qutais Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, she had written that, you know, after changing her life and giving up those sins, and especially the youngsters, you know, it's not difficult for them, it's challenging the kind of environment that they have, for them to give up those sins, for them to give up those girls that they're involved in, you know, for them to give up those waves and that music series and so on. It is a pain on the heart that they have to take, but they are sacrificing for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala quickly blesses them with that sweetness of Iman. So she writes, and actually mentioned it, that now when she performs the Isha Salah, she waits the whole night for Tahajjud. Because she says, when I put my head in Sajda, the enjoyment that I experience in Sajda at the time of Tahajjud, I can't even explain it in words. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that sweetness. Subhanallah, the couplets are coming to mind. Are yaro, jo khaliq hai shakar ka, jamal e shams noor e qamar ka, na poocho lazzat e naam e khuda ke, halawat naam e paak kibriya ki. He says, are hazrat wala ka kalam, wala ka kalam hai. He says, oh friends, are yaro, jo khaliq hai shakar ha, shakar ka, that Allah is the creator of sugar. Jamal e shams noor e qamar ka, that Allah who has created the beauty of the sun, that Allah who has created the illumination of the moon, don't even ask of the sweetness that one can experience when we take the name of Allah. Of course, the thing is that when we take the name of Allah Ta'ala, our hearts are full of darkness, full of zulmat, evil inclinations. But even Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah, he says that when I take the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he says, I feel as if from every single hair in my body, there is a river of honey that is flowing. We cannot understand these things. But this is when a person, when he gives up those ways, when he makes some qurbani in his life. This month of Muharram is linked to the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was it? It was qurbani. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's entire life and the whole hijri calendar. And the entire Islamic calendar is based on the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said that I am commencing the Islamic calendar on the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the whole moment when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left his beloved land, he migrated to another village. He made a great sacrifice in his life. That village that city that was so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Makkah to al-Mukarramah, he addressed Makkah. He said, oh Makkah, I dearly love you. Really love you. I dearly love you. And had it not been for my people, I would never have left you. But because they have pushed me to this point, I have to leave Makkah to al-Mukarramah. You can imagine the pain that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced. You can imagine the sacrifice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made at that point. He said that, I am not commencing the Islamic year on the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Sahaba-i-Kiram, birthdays were not important to them. Birthdays were not something that they celebrated. What was relevant was the sacrifices that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what every mu'min has to bring into our life. Yes, we do not have to migrate from one village to another. But there's some hijrat and there's some sacrifice that we have to make in our lives. There's that one thing that we need to do and we have to say, listen, for the pleasure of Allah, I am giving up this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wal muhajir man hajar al khataya wal dhunub. That who is the true muhajir? Who is the true person who makes hijrah? Is that person who leaves, he moves away from a life of disobedience towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, we can all make this little hijrah in our lives. Move away from a life of sin towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try and give up all sins. And yes, respected elders and brothers, we are all weak. Even if we cannot reach the levels of the great Allah Walas, at least by sitting in these gatherings, that consciousness comes in. At least we realize our faults and weaknesses. This in itself is a great bounty of Allah. When a person realizes his weaknesses, when he doesn't justify his weaknesses, when he has got that talab in his heart, sometimes the person may not reach those levels. But that little talab in his heart, Allah Ta'ala can accept that talab, and sometimes Allah Ta'ala will give the person high maqamah. Based on this year, initially when the war took place in Iraq, when the bombing commenced, at that point, Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was called upon. There was a major crisis in the university where some of the youngsters So there was a major crisis in one of the universities where all the youngsters were starting to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was the reason for this? The logic that they were using was that, listen, if Islam is a true religion, and if Allah ta'ala really loves the Muslims, then why is Allah ta'ala allowing the Muslims to suffer like this? Why is Allah allowing the enemies to bomb them and destroy them? Why is this happening to them? They started questioning this. So Hazrat Ma Rahmatullah Ali went and actually addressed them. And beautifully Hazrat explained to them that a mu'min and a believer in this world. This world for a believer is but a transitory lounge. We are just moving from one point to another point. This is what we are in this world for. For a few days, some people will be here for a few 40 years, some people 60 years, some people 70 years, some people 25 years. Each person is in this world for a short period of time. Every person seated here has got an expiry date attached to his name. So Allah Ta'ala has kept each person here for a very short period of time. And some people, mashallah, they are deendar, they have got deen in their lives, five times salah, everything is in order. And some individuals, they are weak. Now, some amal of this, Allah Ta'ala loves some amal of this. And therefore Allah Ta'ala now says that this banda, I want to give him high stages. But now through his ibadat, he's not going to get this high stages. He's not making that kind of ibadat. So Allah Ta'ala then creates some kind of a reason to give this person a high stage. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala inflicts the person with a terminal sickness. The person is inflicted with cancer. We make dua, Allah protect us from all these dangerous sicknesses. But if a person is inflicted with this kind of a disease, he should never lose hope. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala blesses or grants that person that sickness as a blessing in disguise. That the person will make such sabr. The person will exercise patience. And through his patience, Allah Ta'ala will grant him the stages of great walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, sometimes Allah Ta'ala will inflict the person with some kind of a war. And now the person has to leave his home. The person is going through poverty. But in that poverty, Allah Ta'ala is granting him such rewards, such rewards. Then on the day of Qiyamah, the person will say, Allah, I wish my whole life went through that poverty. So we don't realize that war, and Allah Ta'ala grants those individuals martyrdom. And martyrdom is such a great maqam. Now, if a person had to go by that if a person suffers, then it means that he is not maqbool. And as it explained, as one particular brother, he had a brutal attack on the family. And when he went in the home, he discovered the body of one of the women folk in the home. The body had been totally mutilated. Now, you can imagine what went through his mind. So Hazrat told him, don't lose hope. Can we imagine what Rasulullah SAW went through when he found the body of his beloved uncle, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, cut into pieces? Now, does that ever mean that Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu was rejected in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? In fact, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu is regarded as Sayyidu Shuhada, the leader of the martyrs. His body, his nose was chopped off, his ears were cut out, his liver, lungs, everything was completely cut out, body pieces lying here and there. But this didn't mean that he was rejected. In fact, this was a Allah Ta'ala elevated even higher. So respected elders and brothers, the barakat of the brothers who are here, the mazmoon is just coming to the mind. Allah Ta'ala accept whatever was said. We want to now terminate the program with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, the dua, inshallah. When we take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, we should imagine when we sing La ilaha illallah. And we learn in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, La ilaha illallah, laysa la ijaban dun Allah. That between this kalima there is no barrier right up to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when we say La ilaha, we should imagine that we are removing everything besides Allah from our hearts. And when we sing illallah, we are bringing Allah to us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our hearts. And we should imagine that it is going directly to Allah, and from there Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and Allah Ta'ala's love is being focused on our hearts. Recite the Uchi.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
نفس
شيطان دون يملك عليك عليه وجود الله نفس شيطان دون يملك عليك عليه وجود الله اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں کو بدل کرتا نہ مسیح مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں کو بدل کرتا نہ مسیح تو ہی مگر غفار ہے یا رب بخشے میرے سارے گناہ تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب بخشے میرے سارے گناہ اب تو رہے بس رات میں آخر ورد زبائے زبائے میرے ہیرا لا الہ الا اللہ
simultaneously taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine that everything around us, the ground beneath our feet, the walls of this musalla, every single grain of sand on earth, every single leaf of every single tree, all taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is wajib to say Jalla Jalaluhu on the first one. Gathered here tonight to remember you, Ya Allah. O Allah, our hearts and our tongues are so filthy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that it is not even fit for Allah for taking your Mubarak and pure name, Ya Allah. But how Kareem you are, how Raheem you are. Ya Allah, you are Sattarul Uyub, Ya Allah. You are that being who conceals the weaknesses of others, Ya Allah. O Allah, if you had to expose our weaknesses, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, how embarrassing and humiliating that would have been, Ya Allah. There would have been no one who would have run to come close to us, Ya Allah. But O Allah, out of your sifat of Karimi and Rahimi and Satari, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that you have concealed our sins and our weaknesses, Ya Allah. O Oh Allah, we are raising our begging bowls before you here tonight, Ya Allah, in the midst of all these who are present, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are confessing on every sin of ours, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are that being who granted us all the faculties that we have, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, the sight that we have, Ya Allah. What a great bounty and ni'mat this sight is, Ya Allah. We have seen so many individuals who are blind, Ya Allah. How difficult life is for them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have seen individuals, Ya Allah, who cannot use their tongues, Ya Allah. How difficult life is for them, Ya Allah. We have witnessed individuals who cannot hear, Ya Allah, who are deaf, Ya Allah. How difficult life is for them, Ya Allah. Individuals who cannot walk, Ya Allah, who are crippled, Ya Allah. Who do not have hands, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you have granted us these priceless bounties and ni'mat, Ya Allah. But yet, Ya Allah, we use those very eyes which you had granted us, Ya Allah. Allah, we had used it on so many occasions for your disobedience, Ya Allah. That tongue which you had granted us, Ya Allah, we sliced the hearts of so many individuals, Ya Allah. We made ghibat of so many individuals, Ya Allah. Allah, that ear, Ya Allah, which was such a great bounty, we listened to so much of haram with that ear, Ya Allah. Our heart and mind, which are priceless bounties, Ya Allah. How many occasions we use that heart and mind for evil, Ya Allah, and for fantasizing, Ya Allah. Our hands and feet, Ya Allah, we used it for so much of haram, Ya Allah. Allah, had it been any other Allah, He would have made us blind the moment we looked at haram. He would have made us deaf the moment we listened to haram. He would have made us dumb the moment we spoke haram, Ya Allah. But how kind you were, Ya Allah. How merciful you were, Ya Allah. That you do not seize us because of our sins, Ya Allah. Allah, on this occasion we are begging you, Ya Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our hands and feet, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our ears, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our tongues, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Allah, those sins which you committed in the light of day and darkness of night, Ya Allah. Whilst no one was watching, Ya Allah, we forgot that you were watching, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us for those sins, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us all our sins, Ya Allah. Allah, it is not difficult for you to forgive our sins, Ya Allah. You love to forgive the sinners when they turn and raise their begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, there is no one more merciful and forgiving than you, Ya Allah. Allah, even if our sins are more than the grains of sand on earth, Ya Allah. Allah, even if our sins are more than the leaves of the trees of this world, Ya Allah. Allah, just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness, Ya Allah. Is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire humanity, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Forgive our children, Ya Allah. Forgive our wives and our spouses, Ya Allah. Forgive our brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive our family members, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering throughout the world, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, this is the ummah of your beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, we know that it is because of our weaknesses, Ya Allah. It is because of our sins, Ya Allah. It is because we have become so materialistic, Ya Allah. Allah, that the entire ummah is suffering, Ya Allah. Allah, but we beg you to forgive us, Ya Allah. Ameen. Change the direction of our lives, Ya Allah. Change the direction of our hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, do not look at our sins, Ya Allah. Allah, Allah, look at the precious tears of my beloved Rasul for the sake of his ummah. Ya Allah, my Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire life is nothing but sacrifice, Ya Allah. That being was the greatest after you, Ya Allah. If there was anyone worthy of Ya Allah, being given kingdom, Ya Allah. If there was ever anyone worthy of being treated as a royal, Ya Allah, it was none other than our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this world, Ya Allah, we see how the kings are treated, Ya Allah. We see how the presidents are treated, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, the greatest up to you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, he was stoned in Makkatul Mugarrama. Ya Allah, he was mocked at and jeered at, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in the Haram Sharif, Ya Allah. Whilst in Sajda, Ya Allah, the intestines of a camel were placed on his Mubarak back, Ya Allah. To such an extent, Ya Allah, that he could not even get up from Sajda, Ya Allah. His beloved daughter, Ya Allah, that Fatima al-Zahra, she came and pushed it off. And she said to our beloved Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, oh my father, why are they doing this to you? Why are they doing this to you? Ya Allah, Allah. Ashes were thrown on his body, Ya Allah. Allah, people spat in his face, Ya Allah. Allah, when he walked to Taif, Ya Allah, he was stoned, Ya Allah. To such an extent, Ya Allah, that his shoes, Mubarak, became soaked in his blood, Ya Allah. Allah, in Madinatul Munawwara, Rasulullah, 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 died, Ya Allah, two rocks to his Mubarak, because of hunger, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, nothing but difficulty, Ya Allah, Allah. Pain, Ya Allah. How he cried for his ummah, Ya Allah. In Hajjatul Wida, 124,000 Sahaba Ikram. But Ya Allah, even on that occasion, at every moment he made dua for us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, when he made tawaf, he made dua for the ummah, Ya Allah. At Hajar al-Aswad, he made dua for the ummah, Ya Allah. At Rukn al-Amani, he made dua for the ummah, Ya Allah. And especially in Arafah, Ya Allah. That ma'soom, sinless Nabi, Ya Allah. Amongst his 124,000 Anbiya, from Zohar, Ya Allah, night till Maghrib, Ya Allah. Crying and crying for his ummah. Until, Ya Allah, his entire beard became soaking wet, Ya Allah. His ihram became soaking wet, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. He was crying for his ummah, Ya Allah. Allah, today that ummah, Ya Allah, they are refugees, Ya Allah. Allah, no, Allah, no dignity, Ya Allah. Allah, Allah, because of our sins, Ya Allah. Allah, look at those precious tears of my Rasul, for the sake of his ummah, Ya Allah. Restore the dignity, or the dignity of the ummah of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unite the ummah of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, the ummah is fighting amongst themselves, Ya Allah. Fragmented into a million pieces, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, unite the ummah of Rasulullah. Unite the hearts of parents and children, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of family members, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of the workers of deen, Ya Allah. All the works of deen, Ya Allah. Protect it, Ya Allah. Protect the works of deen, Ya Allah. The enemies, Ya Allah, making tremendous effort, Ya Allah, to fragment the work of deen, to destroy the work of deen, Ya Allah. Protect, Ya Allah, our masjid, Ya Allah, our madaris, Ya Allah, our darul ulums, Ya Allah, our khankas, Ya Allah. Protect the work of da'wat and tabligh, Ya Allah. Allah, all those who are making khidmat of deen in any way whatsoever, protect them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, change the condition of our hearts.
Ameen.
Our hearts are full of evil desires, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, that heart which you granted us, Ya Allah, for your love, for your ma'rifat, for your muhabbat, for the love of Madinatul Munawwara, for the love of Kaaba Sharif, Ya Allah. Today that heart is filled, Ya Allah, with nothing but love for dunya, Ya Allah. Allah, we have become so captivated by dunya, Ya Allah. Change the condition of our hearts, Ya Allah. Give us the best of dunya, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, do not let that dunya enter our hearts, Ya Allah. You come into our hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, give us such a strong bond and attachment with you, Ya Allah, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Even a moment, Ya Allah. Nafs and shaitan want to drag us and want to drag us on the gutters of shame and humiliation, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah, and beseech you, Ya Allah. Allah, protect us from the onslaughts of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Hum sabko Allah wala bana le. Allah, hum sabko apna bana le. Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Allah, if you are ours, then everything is ours. But if you are not ours, nothing is ours, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, ek din marna hai aakhir mein. Ya Allah, we have to leave this world, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, the angel of death will suddenly strike, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those shops, Ya Allah, that we are so attached to, Ya Allah. He will leave it behind, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our cars will be left behind. Our homes will be left behind. Our gold and silver will be left behind. The watches will be removed from our hands, Ya Allah. The rings will be removed from our fingers, Ya Allah. The jewelry will be removed from the females, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, the clothes will be taken off from our bodies, Ya Allah. We will go with nothing, Ya Allah. Just that one cloth of kafan, Ya Allah. Allah, before the water of ghusl is poured on our body, Ya Allah. Allah, give us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to pour the waters of tawbah on our hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, before the kafan is enshrouded upon our bodies, Ya Allah, give us Give us the tawfiq to cover our lives with the libas of taqwa, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, when the angel of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Medina Sharif, Ya Allah. Ameen. At the Rawdah Mubarak of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Oh Allah, cause our souls to depart, Ya Allah, in that way, Ya Allah. Way, ya Allah. Give us a small patch of land in Jannatul Baqi, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, but if it is not muqaddar, wherever it may be, Ya Allah, let it be a mubarak death, Ya Allah. Do not let the angel of death find us in any haram in sin, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect us from humiliation and disgrace, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are well away. All the good desires and aspirations of each and everyone who has raised his or her hand before you. Allah, fulfill all the good desires, the aspirations, the needs, the desires, whatever difficulty, pain, takleef, sickness, Ya Allah, financial difficulty they may be going through, Ya Allah, alleviate it, Ya Allah, remove it, Ya Allah, grant shifa, Ya Allah, to those who are sick, Ya Allah. All those, Ya Allah, have requested us to make dua for them, Ya Allah. Amen. Well aware all the good desires and aspirations, fulfill it, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, this musalla, Ya Allah, this particular place, Ya Allah, let it become a markaz of hidayat, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make it, Ya Allah, a center of hidayat, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let it be, Ya Allah, a facility, Ya Allah, where huffaz and ulama produce, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let this become, Ya Allah, a means of an investment in the akhirah, Ya Allah. Grant us all the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to invest in our akhirah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Allah. Jazakallah.